Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dawn-o-mite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
So right before we went live, I have put on my glasses and I got fingerprints on them. The shirt doesn't take them all off. So I said, let me go grab a wipe really quick because I got these wipes for glasses and computer screens. So let me grab a wipe really quick. I go in this room, I shut the door, I sit down, I get ready to put the intro on. And I'm about to tear the wipe and clean my glasses, and then I look closely. I didn't take the packet for the glasses. I took booty wipes. Yeah, booty wipes. To clean your ass. I almost wiped my glasses with ass cleaner. It's been one of those days, everybody. How y'all doing? Wednesday night, Dawn-o-mite. Hope everybody's having a good Wednesday evening. It is December 14th. Happy holidays to each and every one of you out there. Hope you enjoyed tonight's show. This will be a little bit shorter than usual. I think we don't have many topics to get into, but the ones we do, we obviously have some big stories to get into. Man, what a difference 24 hours makes, right? I saw a super chat come in talking about me making a tribute last night on Patreon to Mandy Rose's 413-day reign. And I have not kept it secret. I am a huge Mandy Rose fan, and she has developed over the last year. I've compared her to early years of Trish Stratus. Will Mandy Rose ever be the icon Trish Stratus is? Probably not. But growing up, you know, as a wrestling fan, and since 79, and when Trish Stratus first came in as the valet for Test and Albert, you know, you knew she was a swimsuit model. You knew she came from Canada. You knew that she was a big sports fan. Trish Stratus was a big fan of sports. Some people even kind of classified her as a tomboy, you know. But she came in as the valet, and we really never thought early on that she would ever really develop her wrestling career and understand the Attitude Era. You know, you could get away with some good bra and panties matches and a little bit more and, you know, have a ink out a nice little career about yourself. I mean, there's some women over the years. I'm sure Tori Wilson and Stacey Keibler will be the first two to tell you, hey, that they weren't great in the ring. But, you know, they are iconic. But as time went by, you know, you heard stories about Trish Stratus working her ass off, you know, with trainers. And, you know, slowly she started, you know, pulling out moves. And yes, the moves were once in a while. That, remember Lita? What was it? Papi Chulo? Was it Papi Chulo? And Lita would just do a moonsault. And you knew Lita could do a little bit more from Puerto Rico and Mexico. But with Trish Stratus, though, you know, you started to see, you know, maybe she is taking this shit a little bit serious, and she got better and better and better. And, yeah, listen, you know, 20-some-odd years ago, you know, your wrestling style didn't have to be what it is today. But she took it seriously, and she turned out to be a pretty decent wrestler, Trish Stratus. A lot of people have fantasy matches still with Trish Stratus and somebody from today. Mandy Rose, over the last year, has really taken her in-ring career seriously. And to see her WWE career come to an end today is, I would have thought it was a stupid joke. You know, we were talking about yesterday, okay, what's next for her? Raw, SmackDown, Royal Rumble, New Year's Evil? You know, and today it's unemployment line. So we will get into it, and I will talk about a few things that have not been discussed publicly yet. I will clear up a couple of misnomers that people are spreading out there. I don't know if it's because of ignorance or because of clickbait. So we will get into a little bit as to why Mandy Rose was released from WWE. Now, I will tell you right off the bat, myself, no one out there has the full story. Unless Mandy Rose or a WWE official, you know, told you, and believe me when I tell you, when I say WWE management, I'm talking about maybe a certain number of people you can only put on one hand. believe me, the entire roster was not in on a Zoom call. You know, with Mandy Rose telling her that her services, unfortunately, are no longer needed. There is a very few group of people that are aware. Mandy Rose's close friends are obviously aware. But I got a DM from someone tonight who is in Florida and very close to the situation, probably the closest that I'll ever get, and told me a couple of things about what Mandy Rose did. And I will tell you this. We'll get into it in a few minutes, but I will tell you this. If you think that Mandy Rose was let go simply because she posted some risque content on her fan page, there's a lot more to it. There's a lot more to it. So we will get into it in a little bit. Now, as far as AEW tonight, decent show. I mean, honestly, I took virtually no notes. I think I enjoy AEW a little bit better when I watch it more as a fan than someone who is going to tell you every little move and every little match detail that went down. I know the big buzz coming out of tonight, not necessarily Ricky Starks versus MJF, because we knew that the outcome was going to be MJF keeping the diamond ring, keeping the AEW championship. It was just, you know, being entertained, watching a good match, and see how they come up with the finish. And right away, they're already segueing a little bit to Bryan Danielson. Remember, Ricky Starks still has another championship opportunity. So do we end up getting a three-way match with Ricky Starks versus Bryan Danielson versus MJF? That is definitely a possibility. And Dynamite tonight was okay. You know, I thought it was fun. I think the crowd made it even more fun. That crowd was pretty awesome tonight. But I know the buzz tonight, more than anything, is about the Chris Jericho match. Chris Jericho facing a wrestler by the name of Action Andretti. Now, should we treat everyone like the CM Punk old Ring of Honor music? Should we treat everyone like you should know who he is? He wrestled on Dark. He's wrestled on other. You should know a little bit about him already. You know, no, I don't think 98% of you out there knew what he was about. The only reason why I knew about Action Andretti before today was because I think his first match was against Reefer. Everybody knows my love for Grim Reefer, homeboy. Definitely love that guy. Action Andretti is Northeast. And believe me when I tell you, you start looking into his resume a little bit, you'd be pretty impressed. So I will let you know who Action Andretti is. And by the way, for those that did not watch Dynamite tonight, what was so special about his match against Chris Jericho? Well, this happened. 1, 2, 3. Chris Jericho loses. Chris Jericho loses. Still suffering the effects of what happened against Claudio Castagnoli. How did you like that? For the last week, the Jericho Appreciation Society versus the Blackpool Combat Club, it all ends at Ring of Honor Final Battle. No more JAS versus Blackpool Combat Club. This Friday on Rampage, we got Sammy Guevara versus Jon Moxley. Oh, fuck! Shit! I put my glasses down too hard. My lens came out. Oh, what's worse than having fingerprints on the glasses? Now my fucking lens came out. Oh, that sucks. This has not been a good night, everyone. Not now. I got even more fingerprints because I put the lens back in the glasses. Now I'm wiping it, and hopefully the lens don't pop out. Ah. Oh, you know what? Now batting for those glasses. Oh, those fingerprints are awful. All right. We're going to have to go the John Lennon route tonight. We'll have to use these. Always keep a backup. Keep a backup recording program. Keep backups of everything. This way, if something goes down, you always got a little backup. So it's all good. I'm sure the haters out there were hoping a demise where I wouldn't be able to read my notes and I'd be like, so Chris Jericho, you know, after all this shit that the Blackpool Combat Club and the JAS are done with, we got Moxley versus Guevara on Friday. It's not going to be a bad match. It's going to be a fun match. But what the fuck? I mean, it's still going on. Jericho Appreciation Site cut a promo on the club. The Blackpool Combat Club cut a promo. This shit ain't over yet. What happened with, we're not going to talk about Ring of Honor all that much on Dynamite. Yeah, you know, they just finished the pay-per-view. You expected to hear a little bit, but nothing changed. Nothing changed. We'll talk a little bit about the Ring of Honor situation as well. I know I gave little bits and pieces the last couple of days, but I will summarize it for all of you tonight to let you know what happened, let you know where it goes from here, and let you know about the dependency. The best word that I could use about the upcoming Ring of Honor paid weekly content is dependency. That word, keep that in your brain, because when it comes to New Japan Pro Wrestling, when it comes to other promotions, we don't know how many, but there's going to be a lot of dependency on other promotions, taping matches, taking some of this weight off of Tony Khan's shoulders, because they're not going to start adding extra tapings just to get Ring of Honor content. I do expect them maybe once a month or once every 2 months to have a taping and tape like a month's worth of Ring of Honor content for their app. I definitely expect that. But, you know, we could talk about it right now. I'll just summarize it for everyone. Long story short, if anybody wants to be entertained mildly, just do a Google search and type in Ring of Honor HBO Max and look at all of the fake, horrendous news reporting from April and May of this year where people were actually saying a deal is done. A deal is done. People were talking out of their ass. They didn't have a fucking clue what was going on. And the situation was simple. You remember all the rumors that they put the Ring of Honor World Championship on Chris Jericho to try to get a TV deal? Now, that wasn't disputed by anybody. It was kind of stupid, but, you know, because the more important thing about Ring of Honor is the logistics, the behind-the-scenes stuff. Where are you going to get all these extra production people to do this extra work? You think Aaron Solo is going to, you know, put in an extra 8 hours a week because he loves wrestling that much? You know, there's a lot to do to add this to it. And you can't simply just add an extra hour to a Dynamite taping because you already have content being recorded for Rampage. You can't just automatically say, oh, well, Rampage could just be live and we could do Ring of Honor taping for an hour. Do you realize how much money is involved? You realize how much money is involved? Not only is it for the venue and the production and the equipment, you got to pay extra wrestlers. And you're not bringing wrestlers just for Ring of Honor. You're bringing them for Rampage, and you're doing it live. I mean, that is crazy amounts of money. What do you want to pay, $75 for a T-shirt in the future? In some cases, you're already paying $50. You know, so the deal is this. Tony Khan, over the last 6 or 7 months, definitely damaged AEW by force-feeding Honor. And that was a thumbnail that I did back in June. He was force-feeding Honor. You could see it. It was obvious. And what he was doing, he was strategically putting a lot of the Ring of Honor wrestlers in quarter one, because that quarter one is falsely inflated because you got people that were watching the Big Bang Theory. They didn't change the channel immediately, so they stay on TBS for an extra 5 or 10 minutes, and that first quarter hour, always, for the most of the part, goes over 1 million viewers. So when they go to a TV deal and say, hey, look, you know, our Ring of Honor wrestlers got 1.3, 1.4 million, the problem is that the people from the networks that they're talking to, they ain't fucking stupid. They know about a lead-in. They see what's going on. You know, come on. You think the network doesn't look at that first quarter hour and then look at the second and third and like, I don't fucking think so. And, you know, he was shoving Ring of Honor on TV to give this impression that, okay, if I have wrestler A take on wrestler B or a tag team take on the tag team, and it's for a Ring of Honor championship, that the fans are losing their shit. This is awesome. I'll give you an example. You could have FTR versus Swerve and All Glory, and it's just an AEW match. Simbangal Milambo, welcome to the family. My glasses are a little fucked up, so You know, you could have FTR versus Swerve and Our Glory, and it's an AEW match. You're watching it, you're entertained as fuck, and everybody's chanting, this is awesome. So now you take that same match and you say, oh, it's for the Ring of Honor Tag Team titles. You think the crowd suddenly is going to put their hands under their asses and not react to it? So you put matches. We brought up FTR. Look at FTR's 2022 record. FTR has had, I think, a total of 7 matches for the entire year, 7 or 8, under the AEW record books. Take away AAA, take away IWGP, take away 6-man tags, take away one-on-ones. FTR has had 7 or 8 matches. Their biggest win in 2022 has been against the Gun Club. Every match that they lost against the top-tier tag team wrestlers. All right, but if we have FTR have a high-profile win and it's for the Ring of Honor tag titles, now you could show, you put a portfolio together. Look, look at the crowd reaction. They love it. They're into it. And the networks aren't stupid. They know exactly what's going on. And for all of these months, with Jericho's champion putting the quarter hour, putting Ring of Honor, Ring of Honor, Ring of Honor, Ring of Honor, making it seem that 10,000, 7,000, 5,000 fans are all losing their shit for Ring of Honor talent, when in all reality, for the last 20 years, the average attendance is 500, with the exception of WrestleMania weekend. You know, the networks put see right through it. And I think Tony Khan was so convinced that he would get a TV deal that they fed crumbs to a lot of these news journalists. It's happening. It's happening. It's happening. And they were running with it. And some of them rolled the dice. And they put exclusives. You heard it here first. The deal is done. Because they were so convinced that the deal was going to be done that when it happens and it's made official, that person gets the credit for it. That's what it is. They rolled the dice and they failed. They failed. What did they get? What's the double sixes called? They got bones. I don't know what it's called, but dice. I don't play dice. But so all of these months, he's trying to negotiate a TV deal, and it didn't work. It failed. So at some point, Tony Khan made the decision to, he was bringing back Honor Club. He was bringing back streaming media. But what he did was he brought back Honor Club for the same price as before, $9.99. But as I talked about on Monday, what you got previously for Honor Club, you used to get more. Because if you were an Honor Club member, you paid $20 extra a year, you would get the pay-per-views for half price. I mean, that's a big deal. Now, every bit of new Ring of Honor content, you got to pay for. You got to pay for it. In order to watch it, you got to pay $9.99 a month, which may not sound like a lot for a lot of people out there, but the pay-per-views, you get no discount. You have to pay $40, $50, whatever they charge for it. The minute Tony Khan realized there was no TV deal, that it failed, and there isn't any TV deal in anywhere near future, and they went to Honor Club, that's where all the title changes happened. A lot of you said the minute that the Briscoes won those tag belts, you thought, oh, this TV deal is dead. There ain't no way that this network was suddenly going to change their mind, even though I do believe the Briscoes will be seen on AEW TV in 2023. I've been making that prediction for the last 3 weeks. Technically, it happened tonight because they actually showed them for a little bit. But the thing is that once Tony Khan realized there ain't no TV deal, Jericho lost the title. They put, remember, Claudio was the champion before he started shopping around the TV deal. He thought that he would get better advertising by having Jericho profiled on the front. You know, a lot of people have never seen it, but AEW kit that they, you know, produced for the networks to review the portfolio, they had all the champions posed, and Jericho was right front and center of it. Claudio was the champion right before they started negotiating a TV deal. And the minute the TV deal failed and he realized, you know, we got to do something and decided Honor Club, they put the belt back on Claudio. That's why Jericho is no longer champion. Here's something else. A lot of wrestlers are now going to be focused only on AEW content. You will see the slow burn of removing Ring of Honor references for some of them, and they will be TV, AEW. Because of the fact that, you know, people don't even know when you're going to start getting the weekly content. They're saying January, but it could possibly be February or March. Now, one last thing before we move on. Dependency. This is what I was leading to. When you hear that New Japan is going to be heavily involved, understand, New Japan already has a TV deal on Access. If you're a New Japan fan, you're watching New Japan on Access, streaming. Some way, you're watching it. The fact that the ratings are so low that they don't even report the ratings anymore, we're talking under 40,000 viewers. And this is after Forbidden Door. This is before Forbidden Door. This is during Forbidden Door. You know, the ratings never wavered. There isn't, I hate to say it, guys, there isn't a giant audience in the United States that's clamoring for Japanese wrestling. There is nothing that ever showed it. There is a niche crowd. You go online, you'll find 100 fans that are really fucking loud. LFG, I got goosebumps. Oh my God, it's unbelievable. Amazing match, fantasy. Oh my God, I'm shaking. I'm losing my shit. You know, but that is a tiny, tiny, tiny little portion of the wrestling fans. So why would New Japan be this heavily part, a big part of this deal? Because AEW is going to need New Japan to tape a few matches in Japan with wrestlers that also appear in AEW. So you will see matches being taped at other promotions, and it will air as part of the Ring of Honor content. Like if New Japan is doing an event in Japan, they will change the skirt. It'll show the Ring of Honor banner, and then you will have a match recorded. This is going to happen multiple times. There are a couple of promotions in the United States, and I don't want to put any names out there yet because what's being discussed is private. And, you know, once it's official, then we put it out there. But AEW is talking to various promotions in the United States where they can do a match on their indie card and here and there. Oh, you know, Ring of Honor title match. And it's taped and it's put. So Tony Khan is going to take pieces from other companies, not all the time, but a decent amount. And he's going to put it all together and he's going to feature it. So you're not going to get episodic TV, you know, as much as some people think. You will get some storylines that will progress because they'll do pre-recorded promos. Shit, you could have wrestlers in Japan cutting promos, you know, and being sent to the United States digitally, and, you know, you could air it on the show. They don't have to be in the States to do stuff like that. But for the most part, they're going to take a match from here, a match from here. They'll record it here. They'll do this, and they'll put it together for weekly content. That's what is being considered more than anything. And honestly, that's a fucking mess. I'm not going to criticize it, you know, the content itself, because the matches may be bangers. But as far as putting it all together, this is a mess. This is scattered. There is no organization. And this is what they're doing. Their hope, and let me make one last point, and this is addressed to Tony Khan. This is addressed to the dirt sheet pigeons out there that get fed the crumbs from the EVPs. You know, and they're not going to hear this. They don't care what you and I think. But I'm going to say it anyway. It is really fucked up that they are still using the term TV deal because it's not a TV deal. But I watch it on TV through my Roku app. You can watch me through the Roku app. Do I have a TV deal? Does everybody have a TV deal as long as you can watch me through the? It's not a TV deal. It's through their streaming app. And stop teasing fans and leading them on a string that this is just temporary. This is very temporary. I watch people with blue check marks that have trillions more people that tune into their stuff than me, that they're actually telling people, like, no, this is a very, very short temporary deal. That TV deal is still being negotiated. And do you think they're going to relaunch Honor Club and try to get people to buy one-year memberships and try to get as many people to sign up now as possible just for 2-3 months from now and say, oh, no, we got a TV deal. We're going to, you know, there's not going to be weekly paid content anymore. Or you'll get it on the app 90 days after it airs on TV. They're not doing that. This is why the announcement for Honor Club was so important. Because once you make that decision, you can't go back in a couple of months. I mean, you can, but you're going to piss off a lot of paying customers. So understand that when these people are doing that, they're just trying to have this false hope with fans like, oh, no, they're going to revisit this in January. Oh, no, after March's pay-per-view, they're going to revisit it there. Oh, no, it could happen 3 months from now. Stop leading people on. Stop teasing them and giving them this false hope. If you do land a TV deal 6 months from now, a year from now, if you do land a TV deal, just announce it and that's it. But to try to jerk people around right now to make them think that, no, everything is perfect, everything's fine. No, in the meantime, we're doing this because we want to. That's fucked up, in my opinion. It's fucked up. All right. Let's talk about Mandy Rose. Let's talk, because obviously this is the biggest story of the day. And you know what's fucked up about it, everyone? And I said this on social media. I know most people didn't give a shit. You know, it's really sad that Roxanne Perez winning the NXT Women's Championship is being overshadowed because of Mandy Rose's firing. Yes, I agree with everybody that says if Mandy Rose didn't get fired, more than likely Roxanne Perez would not have won yesterday. Obviously, there was a decision earlier in the day to take the title off of Mandy. I don't think Mandy knew that she was being let go when she had the match with Roxanne Perez. Usually when you let someone go, have any of you ever been fired from like a job and they don't even let you go back at your desk? Can I just get my belongings? No. We'll put it in a box and we'll leave it at the front desk, or we'll mail it to you. Hopefully not in a trash bag, if you know what I mean. You know, so they, trust me, they did not tell Mandy Rose, hey, look, we're going to release you, but can you drop the title to Roxanne Perez first? No matter how much Mandy Rose likes Roxanne Perez, that would have been crazy. So, but, you know, it sucks that, you know, the celebration for Roxanne Perez winning the NXT championship is overshadowed right now because of this. Now, look, it's not Mandy Rose's fault. Well, it is technically, but that was not her intention to overshadow this moment yesterday. And I think a lot of people fail to remember also, this match took place. This match took place before. Anybody remember the swerve with Cora Jaded? Remember all that? So yesterday's build, as I'm watching it throughout the night, I'm thinking back to that match that I just showed you. And I'm saying to myself, wow, that night the build was nothing compared to last night. And you felt almost like something special could happen. And look, it was awesome. The match was great. Roxanne Perez, as I said yesterday, it's the right decision. If you remember the predictions the week before, you know, even when we talked about the recap of Deadline, the next two champions were going to be Roxanne Perez and Carmelo Hayes. Carmelo Hayes, they are holding him off until WrestleMania weekend. That's why Grayson Waller has the shot right now. But Roxanne Perez, this is developmental. Somebody pointed out yesterday that Shawn Michaels said he wants to take Bron Breakker, wrap him up in a bow, and send him to the main roster because that's what NXT is supposed to be. Develop the stars to tomorrow. And one day you graduate and you don't get left back for an extra year because you like the person, because the NXT fans adore the person. No, the goal is go to the main roster. So, you know, having the championships on the stars of tomorrow is a big deal. And yesterday it felt like, okay, they're going to give Mandy Rose a little time off. Here's something else that I think a lot of people forgot about. I think a lot of people forgot about this. Mandy Rose just lost her brother. If you remember, it was only a couple of weeks ago that she lost her brother. Tragedy. So she is still in mourning because of that. And, you know, what happened with her yesterday, okay, and today, I'm going to tell you what I know. All right. Now, the funny thing is, this is a case of independent contractor versus independent content creator. Remember that phrase, because I'm going to start flooding all my shows with it, so I get the credit for it. Independent contractor versus independent content creator. That is what this fan site is all about. All right. As I posted earlier today, Mandy Rose was in fact fired by WWE. The reports going around is that she posted explicit content on her FanTime page. Now, I want to make this perfectly clear. For people out there that are blaming fans for leaking the content publicly, if you go to this fan site page and you start, or FanTime page, and you start looking at the terms, the agreement terms, there is something in it that says, and I quote, "You are solely responsible for any information you share with through the site, and you specifically acknowledge that any information you share with another user should be considered public information." Anything Mandy Rose shares with her users on the fan site should be considered public information. So for all of these people out there that want to blame fans for leaking nudes or leaking this, I didn't see the content. I'm not interested. Not yet. But, you know, no, it's considered public information. Let's get that out of the way. All right. I did not know that Mandy Rose had a social media page called Mandy Sachs. Mandy Sachs. There you go. Subscribe for $30 a month. It is a fan site. You're giving her money. You're not getting anything in return. Yes, yes. If you go a little bit further, yeah, you could pay $30 a month and you could see all of these posts that Mandy Rose posted. But by signing up on that page, you are not promised nudes. You're not promised photos. You're basically a fan of Mandy Sachs. Guys, I can't get past it. All right, 90s reference coming, everyone. 90s reference. I can't get it out of my head. Every time I hear that name, Mandy Sachs, I keep thinking of Beavis and Butthead with Harry Sachs. Anybody remember? You said Sachs. I just have Butthead's ringing in my ear, Mandy Sachs. I can just picture them giggling when they hear that. Mandy Rose has a page, Mandy Sachs. You pay $30 a month to give to her, and she just shares posts. That's it. And you can put lewd content on there. Obviously, it's got to be to a certain respectful level. But the thing is this, and I want to clear up some misnomers and tell you a few other things. Number one, for everyone out there that was saying that, oh, you know, Mandy Rose fucked up because she created MandyRoseSachs.com. Because if you type in the domain MandyRoseSachs.com, it leads you to that page. Let me reveal something to all of you out there. Fansite is the one that owns that domain. Before I signed my deal with Blue Wire, I was a member of Libsyn. I still have my Libsyn account. I pay them every month, even though I don't use them. I haven't used them in over a year. But I keep my account because I never know, I may go back. You know, Blue Wire is very happy with my stuff, and I'm happy with them, so hopefully match made in heaven forever. But I keep my other options open to be prepared in case I need it. Here's my point. When you sign up for Libsyn, if you want a podcast, you also could pay Libsyn a certain amount of money to have a custom domain name. And as long as you keep the account with them, you keep the custom domain name. Now, yes, you can go on GoDaddy and buy a domain name yourself and do the work yourself. But for a lot of people out there, it's a lot cheaper to just say, hey, Fansite, I'll pay you $10 a month, get this domain name, and this way when people want to see my shit, they don't have to click www.fansite.com/ctxyz_35 or tiny URL. No, you can go to mandyrosesachs.com and get to see it. So, Now, some people have said, well, you know, she used Mandy Rose in the domain name. Well, you know, her name is Amanda Rose. So, you know, what do people call Amanda? Some people call her Mandy. So, you know, it's a very sticky situation. But Mandy Rose, for those that don't know, she set up this site back in July or August. Okay, a lot of people think this came out of nowhere. She set this up back in July and August. And here's some additional information you may not know. WWE was aware of the fan site. WWE is aware of the social media that some people are doing. Mia Yim is still on YouTube. Some people are on Twitch. And it's not even about paying a percentage. It's not even about that aspect of it, because that's really not the issue here. The problem is this, and I'm working on getting more information, and I'm not going to throw any names out there. But when I explain it this way, you probably could figure out at least one woman that this probably falls into, you know, the category. You can figure it out. The thing is this, a lot of people in wrestling want to make more money. And the thing is, when it comes to Mandy Rose, especially, you know, her merchandise sales are almost non-existent. Yes, yeah, figures, you got this, you got that, but she's in NXT, and NXT merch is slim to none. There's very, very few items. And, you know, plus, you're not making pay-per-view revenue, you're not making this, you're not making that. And being in NXT obviously is, if you're in there for an extended period of time, obviously you are going to be making less money. And the thing is that, look, you got a body like Mandy Rose, and you can make some money taking some pictures and this and that. As long as it's not under the WWE banner, they don't own the rights of your body. You know, now she's posing with the NXT title covering her private parts. That's different. But if she's just posing on the beach by a pool, getting out of the shower, this and that, WWE may not like that content. And yes, WWE can let someone go simply based on their lifestyle. The biggest, you know, controversy has always been with Enzo. Now, Enzo at the time was accused of sexual assault, but once that was revealed that it was nothing but a lie, you didn't see WWE racing to bring him back. They just thought the guy partied a little bit too much and was a little bit too nuts. You know, WWE does have some form of ethics that why do you think people sometimes get fired from corporate jobs or any type of job simply because of a tweet that they posted or a viewpoint? You know, or something ridiculously stupid. So as much as I am a huge fan of Mandy Rose and I support her through and through, WWE can let someone go if they are not, you know, cool with what she started doing. But that may not have necessarily been the icebreaker. Okay, here's the deal. You could look around other fan sites and you will find that a lot of people on there get $1 a month, $5 a month, sometimes $10 a month. Mandy Sachs is charging $30 a month, okay? $30 a month. And you can't see it on this page I'm showing you right now, but she already had over 10,000 likes on the page. Now, those are paid subscribers. Now, I'm not saying that she has 10,000 people subscribing. That's crazy amount of money. You figure it out. That's over $3 million. Yes, fan site takes 20% of it, and she gets 80. And if WWE gets a cut, you know, I don't know what the arrangement was. Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing that nobody knows. Once Mandy Rose started raking some serious coin off of this, and she decided to take it to the next level and post more risque content and be a little bit more, you know, explicit, other people in WWE are talking about it. And there's more than one person where Mandy Rose has actually talked to in WWE about, hey, you should get a fan site page. Hey, look at this money that's coming in. All you got to do is just post some pictures of yourself and, you know, post that you're making coffee or something like that. And you'd be surprised how much money people will pour money to you. And, you know, there's at least one person out there. If you go back and look at that person's social media footprint for the last, I'd say, 2 or 3 months especially, you will see a sudden surge of pretty, nothing nude, but pretty, creative photos, very sexy photos. And, you know, the word is that she was telling others, you know, that you should do this, you should consider this, this and that. And once the explicit stuff came out there, and believe me, there's someone else that if you actually look at those photos, it kind of felt like, oh, give me more, give me more, give me, give me, give me more. It was only a matter of time. So they not only were they against the explicit content, but the fact that, you know, this was being like, you know, becoming an incentive for others to maybe consider it as well. Some people are throwing names out there. I will not tell you if you're right or you're wrong, but you look around and you probably could figure out who I'm talking about. And there's probably others. There's probably others we're not aware of. But understand something. You know, it's fucked up that they fired her over this. Understand also that this is not the first time WWE has talked to her about this. This was something that was discussed a while back. Mandy Rose is a very attractive woman. Mandy Rose does post pictures of her, you know, in her bikinis and, you know, nothing lewd. I don't consider it lewd. But this was a discussion before that WWE has made it clear that there is a line that should not be crossed. Not only was that line crossed, but it was starting to become a topic with others that, you know, my God, you could be raking in crazy amounts of money. And that's where WWE said, no, no. We already told her, don't do this, stop this, you know, don't do that. And she did it anyway. And WWE said, that's it. It's like they set an example with her. And there's an old phrase, you give an inch, somebody takes a foot. Am I accusing Mandy Rose of taking a foot? No, because I don't know exactly where she crossed the line. But, you know, for people out there, I'm with you. I'm with you. I don't think she should have been fired. If anything, you suspend her. You suspend her 30 days or whatever it is. She drops the title. Her streak has come to an end. And then you let her make right of the situation. The problem is, once you put the photos out there, what are you going to do? Take them down? By then, you got tons of people who downloaded them, shared it with others. That will never leave there. So not on their watch. You had photos before. You had photos after. You know, what are you going to do? Not on our watch. And that's why she was let go. There's more to it. I mean, as time goes by and I get more information, I will share it with all of you. But, you know, this could have been a domino effect that if she could do this, make that kind of coin, and WWE can't do anything about it, or they don't do anything about it, that's going to give even more incentive for this person to do it. See, what people also need to understand is this, and I'm sorry if this offends some people out there. You know, over the last bunch of years, you know, people have made the term diva a dirty word. You know, oh, we want women's wrestlers. We don't want divas. You know, and what people need to understand too is that there are women out there that like to show off their bodies. As I said when we were talking about the Riddle situation, dating Misha Montana, you know, being an adult film star or posing nudes doesn't make you a bad person. And there's this idea on social media that if a guy wants to, you know, is admiring sexy pictures of someone, oh, you're a disgusting pig. You know, women are not just superficial and they should not be looked at just eye candy, that this and that. Bullshit. There are some women out there who have it and want to flaunt it. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. And like Mandy Rose and others, they want to show themselves off. It doesn't cheapen them. It doesn't make them, you know, any less of a person. And people have taken that idea that is somebody that wants to pose a risque photos or lingerie or this or even nude, that, oh, you know, that's cheapens women. And that's part of the problem, too. You know, so, and you can't have your cake and eat it too, because I saw people today just to try to get 1,000 likes. They're talking about, oh, if this was 20 years ago, it would have been welcomed by WWE. Sure, it would have been. Absolutely. And then you have other people today, and this was the best one of them all. Oh, you know, you're telling people like Athena to be more dressed more like Mandy Rose and show yourself and this, this, and that. And Mandy Rose is like, okay, I will show more of myself. And then you fire over it. That's fucking stupid. I mean, that sounds great, and yeah, 3,000 likes to it, but if you actually think about that, whoever wrote that, they must have put their head in the microwave for 30 seconds. And that's not what WWE was talking about. You know? I mean, I will save everyone, you know, the pain of me, you know, like trying to like pose in one of those photos that she posted. But, you know, the bottom line is that Mandy Rose unfortunately crossed the line that she knew she shouldn't do. And here's what it comes down to. Independent contractor versus independent content creator. That's where the argument is. That's where Mandy Rose disagrees with WWE. This will be a discussion that we have probably many times in the future, but remember that phrase because that's what this comes down to. And it's not just fan site. It's Twitch, it's YouTube, it's anything where you can make some money outside of WWE. Independent contractor versus independent content creator. Now, there were some reports earlier that Mandy Rose is part owner of Fansite. That is not true whatsoever. Fantime, I keep saying Fansite, Fantime, not true whatsoever. The domain name is not owned by her as well. Here's something else. I saw a lot of people today fantasizing that she will end up being the mystery partner of Soraya, I think January 11th, for AEW Dynamite because she only has a 30-day no-compete clause because she's in NXT. All right, I actually asked someone today, please clarify, does she have an NXT contract or a WWE contract? And the answer that I got was, as far as they knew, she was still under World Wrestling Entertainment's contract, but she was brought to NXT, not just because they didn't have anything for her, but to season, develop, and become a bigger star. Apollo Crews, you think Apollo Crews just has an NXT deal right now? So if that's the case, I don't know if it's certain, but if that's the case, if she's got still her regular WWE deal, it's 90-day no compete. Just because you think if New Day gets released tomorrow, that no, it's 90-day no compete. It's not just because you're under the NXT banner. Oh, welcome to NXT. Yeah, I only have 30-day out if I'm fired. It's not, doesn't go like that. So that's another misnomer I wanted to clear up with a lot of people out there. They think because she's been in NXT for a year plus that, you know, that means that she has an NXT contract. And, yeah, that you can't go by that. She can. You, there are wrestlers that could have WWE contracts wrestling in NXT, even if it is for an extended period of time. So that is where we're at. I will tell you this, you know, great trio, man. And it's not just the visuals. I mean, Toxic Attraction, legitimately, one of the better women's wrestling groups in recent years. I mean, look, Gigi Dolin and JC Jane still have a lot to learn, but they worked their ass off. You look at even both of them a year ago to now, and you could see it's not just the in-ring ability, it's the presentation. It's how you walk, how you talk, your mannerisms, the way you act, the way you react. I mean, all three of those women have busted their ass to be taken seriously. Oh, imagine that in 2022. Women that could be sexy and dress a little bit, you know, risque and still like really give a strong presentation about themselves. Toxic Attraction, I am a big fan of. We've given away Toxic Attraction prizes. In fact, in my office, I still got a triple signed Toxic Attraction photo from a couple of months ago that, you know, I was going to give away. But and I probably will in the near future. And let me also say one thing more in closing about Mandy Rose. And this is something I have said before, but a lot of you may have not even, like, paid attention to it. As far as, like, interacting with fans go, Mandy Rose has always been one of the coolest people to interact with. Some of you may remember, I did a giveaway early in the year, and it was a couple of different prizes, and one of the prizes was three Mandy Rose photos, and none of them was signed, but it was three very cool photos of her when she first won the championship, and somebody won the prize. And even though I said that they were not autographed, the person said to me, are they autographed? And I said, no, I announced that three times. I don't want it. So I said, okay, no problem. So I took the three photos. I mailed it to the Performance Center. And I put a little note on there to Mandy. I've talked about this before. I showed it once. I said, look, you know, I give away some things on the shows. You know, your photos are one of the most, you know, popular items that I give away. I make no money off of it. Would you be willing to sign these photos? And I promise you they will not be sold on any auction site. They will be given away. And I sent the photos. She sent them back, signed, and we gave them away. You know, and I've gotten other Mandy Rose photos over the year as well. You know, she is one of the most, you know, one of the coolest to interact with. If you've ever had, now, that doesn't mean that if you send her a DM tonight, hey, listen, I'm sorry what happened. You know, look, I'm one of your biggest fans. You know, it doesn't mean that she's going to say, oh my God, thank you so much. I appreciate the support. You know, it's not that, you know, you can't interact with everybody. But for those who always interacted with her, they never ever, I never ever heard anybody say to me, wow, what a stuck up bitch. Fucking, what mountain does she think she's on? No one has ever said that. And any interaction I ever had was cool. So, sucks. Will WWE bring her back? I hope so. The problem is, you know, you can't do it overnight, obviously. Because some people think this could turn into an Emma situation. Remember, Emma got fired because she walked out of Walmart or something with an iPod case. And there was so much backlash online that WWE brought her back almost immediately. This is a little bit different. And the reason why it's different, and again, take it from someone who's a big Mandy Rose fan, I will even admit it myself. Understand there's a lot more to the story that has not been told. And if you only think that she posted some risque photos or videos or whatever you think, and WWE fired her because of it, that is a very incomplete statement. And people are basing their entire viewpoint on a very incomplete situation. There is a lot more to this that has not been made public. Once you hear the whole story, you could take two ways with it. You could either say, wow, you know, hey, you know, I it's fucked up, but, you know, she had a chance, you know, to right the situation, and she doubled down on it. Or you could be one of those that'll be like, no, she should be able to show. So I don't know what side you take. But there's a lot more to the story. So, you know, for the people that are extremely passionate, I saw no DQ, man. I want to fucking continue liking you guys, but you were just writing some really dopey shit. I don't know if you're just doing it intentionally to try to get views. Some idiot wrote today, oh, you really angry about WWE letting go Mandy Rose? You stop watching NXT. You stop paying attention. Hurt their ratings. Balk on the shows. Fuck you. You don't even know that situation going on. Telling people to do that. Mandy Rose is a big girl. She could take care of herself. She knew what she was doing. And I'm a fan of hers. But you see, obviously, this viewpoint is not a popular one. You got to just write on social media, wow, WWE is so fucked up. I thought they would be better without Vince McMahon. And then they do this. And that's awful. Blah, 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 blah. And everybody will be like, oh, my God, you're so on point. You know, 100, you know. Most of those people don't even know the story. So I wish her well, man. I wish her well. And look, if you want to continue supporting Mandy Rose, hey, if you're over 18, go check out the page. I will say this. You know, this was the original thumbnail for tonight's show. How it started, that was the TV deal, how it's going, and it went to I thought I did such a good job with that. Mandy Rose goes and gets fired. I'm like, motherfucker, son of a bitch. Now I got to turn it into that. Like, now I can't even use that thumbnail anymore. I'm like, oh, come on, man. I'm fucking me up. But I will say this, nothing is stopping Saturday's show. Any of you ever saw Love Connection from the 1980s? I created that set that you're looking at right now. Those hearts, those triangular shapes in the background, those are all Adobe images that I put pastel colors and I tried to make it look like wallpaper and paint and stuff. I tried to recreate the set of Love Connection because Saturday we're going to talk about Rita Marie. She wants a piece of the pie, everyone. She sees Vince's millions being given away. What about me? What about Rita? So we're going to talk about that one on Saturday. So, and I'm not done with that, too. I'm undecided if I'm going to put Chuck Woolery in the picture as well. I don't think we need him in the picture. So, all right, let's start bringing this show home. All right, tonight we had AEW, and it was a fun show. The match results from tonight, I'm kind of happy with it, but I kind of laughed at the same time. Death Triangle beat the Elite, so they're now up 3-1. So you know for a fact this is going 7. So you know the next two wins are obviously going to be the Elite winning. You know that. Now, I said the first week, and then they announced the best of 7, that they should have stipulations. They should have gimmicks attached to this. Just don't have to, you know, advertise a regular match 7 times. So tonight, you know, they do the whole, injury thing. Nick Jackson injured, got to go to the back to the trainer, and he comes back out, and my God, Tony Schiavone is fucking, you know, flipping out, and he's excited. Like, here he is! He's back! And what did he actually say? He can't walk! And he's making his way into the ring! Tony Schiavone, man. Oh, my God. I love Tony Schiavone, and I was one of the few that defended him signing with AEW in the first place. But you tune in every week. He reflects like the Cake and Ice Cream Club on social media. Every week. Oh, tonight's been an awesome night. Oh, it's been such a fun show. Oh, he's back! He's going to the ring! I can't even do it that high. He's almost turning into Don West. Hey, Benz! Oh, I'm getting sick of it. So anyway, Nick Jackson comes out towards the end of the match. You know, first selling an injury, he has to go to the back. He limps back out there. He gets hit with a hammer by Penta. He gets pinned. Then Omega gets on the mic. And again, always trying to shoot like the Eddie Kingston promos, like, hey, don't count me down. You know, other people have done it as well. No. Kenny Omega's like, this is not towards the fans. This is not even towards the management. This is towards the Death Triangle. Next week, you and I, the hammer's legal. Weapons are legal. No DQ. And I'm saying to myself, when is there ever a fucking DQ? When is there ever a DQ? You go back, you got the hammer. Do I have any hammers handy? You have that. Yeah, you got a wrench. And the referee's looking at the person. And the referee just looks the other way like, oh, I didn't see it. There's a fly in front of my face. When is there DQs? So now that what that means is that now the referee doesn't have to act like he doesn't see anything. That's the only difference next week. But you know that the Elite are going to win at least the next two matches. Then it'll go down to 7, and I still think the Elite are going to take it. Matches are not bad. It's just, you know, at this point, I don't know. I'm really not interested in seeing them all that much. We have the Acclaimed. Their next tag team opponents for the championships have pretty much been etched in stone, and it's who we feared it was going to be. Jeff Jarrett, Jay Lethal. They attacked the Acclaimed tonight, so they are going to be getting a tag team title shot. I'm not going to complain much about it because I've enjoyed a little bit of Jeff Jarrett nostalgia in 2022. Jeff Jarrett had a renaissance year for his age and the alcoholism that he battled and all of his demons and a lot of the bullshit from years past. You know, he's had a redemption year. And The only problem I do have with it is you got an entire roster of epic tag teams, future tag teams, aspiring tag teams. The fucking House of Black. The House of, remember Wednesday, we issue war on everyone. Well, why didn't you fucking show up during the best of seven earlier? No, we're going to beat up Aaron Solo and QT Marshall and Cole Carter. Come on, man. I literally walked inside to get a glass of water. I came back and QT Marshall was laid out by Malachi Black and the match was over. I'm like, that's what you got? Uh-uh. Could not deal with it. Brian Cage getting a match with Jungle Boy. Just wins the tag titles just to lose today. And look, I am a big Brian Cage fan. I've always said it. But this is the second week in a row where he fucked up bad. You know, when you're being rolled up, you know, you're so suspension of disbelief as you're trying to kick out. Maybe this is Jungle Boy's fault as well. Jungle Boy rolls up Brian Cage. And right before the three count, Jungle Boy lets go of Brian Cage's legs. And if you look, even though it's for a split second, like if you really pay attention to detail, Brian Cage is supposed to be trying to kick out. So the minute, and plus he's got giant legs, strong legs. So the minute that Jungle Boy breaks the hook attempt, Brian Cage, his momentum should be trying to kick out. If you look at it, when Jungle Boy lets go of the roll-up, Brian Cage, his legs are in the air like a turkey waiting to be basted. Or he's just waiting to be eaten out by someone. His legs are spit. He didn't even, like, you would think, like, his legs would have went like this, like trying to kick out. Jungle Boy lets go, and his legs are like this. Field goal. Field goal. Little things like that. As much as I like Brian Cage, this is the second week in a row, I would have called him back and say, hey, Brian, you are not on TV for a long time, and I think I'm starting to realize subconsciously why. You know, this is 2 weeks in a row. You could even do the Adam Pearce, Bobby Lashley thing. Don't let it happen again. So, Jungle Boy beats him. After the match is over, Jungle Boy wants to beat up the biggest bitch of them all, Big Bill. Get your ass out here. Big Bill and Lee Moriarty start beating down Jungle Boy, and Hook makes the save. I have no problem with Hook being put in that position. The problem I do have is watching W. Morrissey, the former Big Kaz, running out of the ring because Hook showed up. I mean, and the announcers are cute. And I'm going to tell you something now that I want you to remember. Because now since I brought it up to you, you will hear it almost every single time. Whenever somebody leaves the ring because of somebody they should not be afraid of entering the ring, the announcers will always say, oh, they want to do it on their time. Big Bill, tonight's not the night. He'll do it on his time. Fuck out of here. That is the announcers trying to cover up. Why is this fucking 7-foot schmuck leaving the ring because of a 110-pound, you know, wrestler? And I'm exaggerating. I have nothing against Hook, but it just looks awful. And just because an announcer says, "Oh, well, they're leaving the ring because it's on their time, when they're ready," that's awful, man. That is fucking awful. It is, and you will hear it every time. And every time the announcers do that, I'm like, just because you say that doesn't make it better. Swerve telling everyone today, I don't have friends. I don't have family. I have affiliates. I like that. I do like that. I'm kind of the reverse. I have friends and I have family, but I have no affiliates. I have no partners. I kind of actually like it that way. I just like my extended family, which is all of you. Hit that thumbs up if I kissed your ass enough just now. House of Black, like I said, won over QT Marshall, Cole Carter, and Aaron Solo. Julia Hart spits the mist in Camarado's face. Squash match, you know, did what it needed to do. You know, House of Black coming off more as baby faces than anything else. But like I said, understand that they ain't going for any trios titles at minimum until March or April. So what are they going to do in the meantime? Ruby Soho over Ty Mello after the match is over. Anna Jay shows up, lays out Ruby Soho, does a Marsha to her. Oh, my nose. You know, basically hits her in the nose. John Moxley cuts a promo earlier, talking about Friday taking on Guevara. Talks about telling Hangman Page, show up Friday, bring your Dark Order friends with you also. And then Hangman Page is interviewed later on, and he gets a little emotional. I don't know if the story is true. Hangman Page was talking about when he was in the ambulance, like they asked him, like, do you know what date it is? I guarantee you they also asked who's the president, because whenever you get tests like that, they'll tell you, like, what's today's date? You know, what color is that? Who's the president? And then he knew everything. He knew he was facing Moxley. He knew you were in Cincinnati. And then, you know, apparently he had like 100 texts and calls, and they all went to voicemail. Why his sons didn't? I didn't know iPhones had that kind of technology that if you miss a call or miss a text, no, but it's me. I'm his son. And it stays on the screen. So apparently, you know, maybe it was a screensaver. That could have been. Maybe Hangman Page had a screensaver and had his son on it. And they said, oh, that's your son? Wow, cute kid. What's his name? And Hangman Page didn't know it for an hour. I think it's a true story. And, you know, kind of emotional about it as well. Tell you something. You know, you get knocked for a loop like that, it's no joke, man. So, but even if it was, the story wasn't true, it was very, very believable. And you know, in wrestling, when you talk about your relationship with a son or a daughter, especially if they're really young, you ain't going there, no matter who it is. You learn that very quickly. But still, I mean, you know, it's scary. It's scary shit. We hope he's okay. You know, supposedly he's not cleared yet. I heard otherwise. I heard that he is cleared. I heard that he is okay. So next week we have Rampage is John Moxley and Sammy Guevara, Sky Blue versus Britt Baker. Wardlow will be in action, and we have best friends Orange Cassidy and Dustin Rhodes. And I want to say something about Dustin in a minute versus Kip Sabian and Trent Seven, Butcher and the Blade. If anybody heard Dustin Rhodes cutting his promo tonight, something seemed different to you about the way he was talking. And I'm not saying that to be funny, and I'm not saying that he was under any influence. It almost sounded like he had to think about his words. I don't know if anybody knows what I'm talking about. He sounded slower. And I don't mean methodical. It almost sounded like he had to think about the word before he says it. And if any of you out there have ever seen someone do that, you know what I'm talking about. Something seemed different about him. And it's not just getting older. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go back and watch it again. You might watch it again and say, DT, I don't know what you're talking about. For me, though, it seemed like something is off. Something just seemed different. And it wasn't just, hey, we haven't seen him in a while. Go watch what he said and get back to me and let me know. Yeah, KD, you're right. Maybe he was just tired. Could be just tired. That could be it. It seemed a little bit more, though. Next week on Dynamite, we got FTR versus the Gun Club, Hikaru Shida versus Jamie Hayter, and the Death Triangle versus the Elite match 5. Elite is trailing 3-1 right now. Next week, no DQ. MJF over Ricky Starks. Fun match. Crowd was into it. Maybe inflated the actual quality of the match, because if you look closely, there was some spots that were a little bit off. It wasn't, you know, the best match out there, but it was good enough, and I enjoyed it. The crowd enjoyed it. In the end, MJF with a low blow with the referee. I don't know what the fuck he was doing. You go back and look at the referee. It looks ridiculous. And I haven't criticized the referees in a while. So the referees have been doing better. But tonight when MJF with the low blow, the referee, for some reason, just decided to be like, you know, and it's not storyline. He kicks Ricky Starks in the nuts, rolls him up, gets out of the ring. MJF starts walking to the back. Bryan Danielson's music hits. Bryan Danielson chases MJF. MJF runs into the crowd. Bryan Danielson climbs the top rope, stares down MJF. So, again, I don't think that means Ricky Starks is now out of the picture. He still has that one match left. It could end up as a three-way. So we will wait and see what happens. Now, I purposely waited until now to talk about this. Action Andretti, all right? Got the pin today against Chris Jericho. And, again, I know most of you out there never heard of the guy, and you shouldn't. I mean, really think. I mean, if you watch Dark on an every week basis, you've seen him a couple of times. He's wrestled. I will tell you this, as far as what I know, and I didn't pull notes, I didn't do research. This is what I know about him at right now. He's either 24 or 25 years old. He's a very interesting wrestler. He's got the look, and he's put on about, I would say, 15 pounds over the last year or two. But the thing about him is he's been in wrestling for about 3 years, I would say, 3 to 4 years. And he's from the Northeast, the Jersey, Pennsylvania area. And, you know, his name has been brought up in this neck of the woods. He wrestled for CZW. That's where I remember him from. I think he wrestled for MCW. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure it was MCW. And the reason why I started paying attention to him a little bit, I don't want anybody to think like I watched all his shit. His first match was against Reefer, who I used to manage for a short period of time. And Reefer is a homeboy. Reefer lives 5 minutes from my house. Awesome guy. And here's another thing. Dante Martin, Rich Swann, Isaiah Cassidy, Mark Quinn, trying to think who else. I think I said Rich Swann. He has wrestled a lot of big-name talent, but do you see a little trend there of the names that I brought up? Reefer. He wrestled Reefer. Kip Sabian. Majority of his resume is high flyers. And you saw a little of it tonight, some of the moves he was doing. But tonight was really interesting. Look, the storyline is that Jericho is not on his game. All right? So, you know, and I love that he got over with the fans. And, look, I would not be surprised if we see, you know, that he is all elite. Hey, if he could ink a contract out of this, fucking awesome for him, man. I don't know if he's in that position to work full-time for AEW. But the thing is this. He has great matches with high flyers. So the match he had with Jericho today, yes, the story was that he won't quit, he won't get pinned, he won't tap out, and he caught Jericho on his worst day, and it's the biggest upset in recent memory. Kind of gives a little shades of 1-2-3 Kid against Razor Ramon. The difference is we watched 1-2-3 Kid lose 100 times before he beat Razor. A lot of people are saying 1-2-3 Kid tonight, but the fact is, if you ever watched his work, Andretti, he actually is pretty damn good. He actually has a lot of wins under his belt. So, you know, he is an up-and-coming star, and AEW is taking notice. He's worked a couple of dark matches in the past, and they gave him a win tonight against Jericho. I mean, just imagine how that 24-year-old feels that he got to pin Chris Jericho on his debut match on AEW Dynamite. That's cool. And, you know, he's got a nice look. He's got a nice physique. As far as promo-wise, I mean, he's still got to work on that a little bit. But he's great talent. Great little talent there. You know, is he going to be a major star in the future? I have no idea. But the guy, if you go on YouTube, you will see a decent amount of his matches. And still 24 years old. 3-4 years in the business, unknown amongst everyone, you know, that's sometimes you might hit gold with that. So, all right, we're going to start bringing this home a little bit. Let's talk briefly about NXT, the match results from yesterday. And I tell you, when I read you these match results, if you didn't watch, I didn't realize how many matches they had yesterday. They had a lot of matches yesterday. Wes Leo versus Stax in a non-title match. Toxic Attraction versus Ivy Nile and Tatum Paxley went to a no DQ. Odyssey Jones over Von Wagner, and I know some people are very surprised at that outcome. Von Wagner, I think, is on his way to the main roster, and he's just doing a little bit of favors on the way out. That's what it's coming across as. Ikemen Hiro over Javier Bernal. After the match was over, Reggie shows up in his Scripps outfit, and they did a little different today. He basically showed up, just flipped into the ring. No one expected it. Attacked Hiro and took his jacket, climbed to the top rope and did a flip onto him. Didn't overly do it. Just hit one, two moves, laid him out. A little bit more of an attitude. You see in a little bit of tweaking with Scripps. Yesterday was 10 times better than his debut. Scripps yesterday seemed more of like a guy that wants to fuck people up. So I thought it was better yesterday. Still don't like the outfit. I think he's going to take the mask off soon. I think he will. Not just yet. We have JD McDonagh over Brutus Creed. Lia Valkyria, however you want to pronounce it, over Amari Miller. That was her NXT debut. Duke Hudson over Damon Kemp, which surprised a lot of people. A lot of people think, like, what the fuck happened with Damon Kemp's momentum? They're just, you know, it's not the right time for them to build the storyline with him right now. And Roxanne Perez beating Mandy Rose to win the NXT Women's Championship. Yesterday, the New Day showed up with their championship celebration. And, you know, they were talking about their history. And we had Xavier Woods talking about his first ever match for NXT. It might have even been NXT's first ever match. It was against Big E. And it was good because it made you feel like it's not a step down for him. It's not a demotion. Kofi Kingston is now the first ever Triple Crown singles and tag team wrestler. And yeah, you could come up with a record for almost anything, but that's pretty cool for Kofi Kingston to have. And now the question is, who is going to dethrone the New Day for the tag titles? Next week, they're going to have Briggs and Jensen taking them on. Obviously, no title change next week. Pretty Deadly wants a shot at their titles back. And who knows, Pretty Deadly may end up getting it back when everything is said and done. But believe it or not, WWE is thinking about putting the tag titles either on the Creed brothers, more towards WrestleMania weekend, or down the line have Sanga and Veer take the titles. The problem is that Veer right now has a minor injury that, you know, they're resting him a little bit. Well, like I said, he'll probably wrestle before he goes to India. But in the end, they want the Creed brothers. They want to take him to the next level. Creed brothers had a taste of gold already. But the second time around, it'll feel a little bit different, especially if you get the rub from the New Day out of this. So yesterday's NXT. And you know it sucks today too? Last week everybody talked, and I talked about it also, but everybody talked about how NXT had gone down like 15, 17% in the ratings. Last week their rating dropped all the way down to 534,000 viewers, which is really not very good. This week their rating jumped 25% to 666,000 viewers. Yes, probably some extra viewers because of the New Day appearing. They were advertised. But still, a 25% increase in the ratings, you know, that should be in everybody's headline, that the NXT rating, you know, jumps 25%. I didn't see anybody write it. Nobody. Like, they'll write something in passing in the description, but they really didn't talk about it at all. All right. Shout out to Gamers Block. Bunch of people have been crying on Twitter since last night. Please set them straight, DT. Thank you for the 10 spot, my friend. I hope I succeeded in doing that tonight. You know, look, Mandy Rose, you know, I could add this to what I said earlier. This woman has developed her career big time over the last year. Her stock has increased significantly over the last year. And to think after a 413-day reign, and definitely deserving to be ranked higher in a lot of lists for 2022, to not only have your title reign come to an end, but your WWE career as well, for the time being. That's mind-boggling. They spent 413 days developing her to be the next legit, you know, wrestler to the main roster. Maybe not on a level of Bayley and Bianca and others, but definitely deserving to represent. And she gets dropped because of media stuff, photos, videos, whatever. It just, you would have said to me that she would have a 413-day, you know, pretty good record reign. Didn't get close to Oscars, but still have over a year-long reign, beat some legitimate names across the way, earning it, improving, you know, building Toxic Attraction as well and becoming one of the legit factions. And then in a snap of the finger, the title is gone and her WWE career is gone. It's pretty wild, man. I think some people do have a right to be upset today, Gamer's Block, because this situation could have been prevented. And again, you know, it's up for debate if she should have been let go or not. Like I said, I think she should have been suspended, you know, and deal with it and see, you know, rectify the situation. But like I said, once those photos started circulating, that was it. And again, don't blame the fans for posting it, because like I said, in the terms, it specifically says that anything that you post, consider it public information. You know, of course, you know, if it's posted on other sites, you could request a DMCA takedown because it's private content. But in the end, you know, you agree to those terms, you kind of got to go with it. So fans reposting it, I mean, you know, that was the weird thing today. People were actually saying, oh, WWE found out because fans reposted it. No, that's not true. WWE knew about her page for quite a while now. All right. You can hear my allergies are kind of fucking me up tonight. Steve Joseph with the 10 spot. If you're making 300 grand a year, why do you have an OnlyFans page? Why have a subscription page that would put your career on the line? Is it worth it? I think not. Well, we don't know exactly how much Mandy Rose is making. But I will tell you this. If she's making 300 grand a year, a boatload of it goes to taxes. And then you start talking about expenses for a house and insurance and property taxes and utilities and food and car insurance. You know, it's not as much money as you think it is. And listen, if you could set up an OnlyFans page or a fan site page, and all you got to do is just take pictures of yourself and you put it out there. Look at Toni Storm when she debuted her OnlyFans. Look at the tens of thousands of dollars she made, and none of it was even nude. I mean, she covered everything up. And imagine that. Imagine you could make that kind of money. All you got to do is just take some pictures. You don't have to go to a professional photographer. You don't have to pay a talent agent. You don't have to pay a company, a modeling agency. You're just home. You get out of the shower, snap a couple of pictures, or you have a friend there, hey, take some pictures of me, and you post it. And just like that, you get $30,000, $40,000. Of course you would do it, man. That's crazy easy money. Fuck yeah. That is good. Benjamin thinks $300,000 is plenty. Listen, I think we would all be ecstatic if we made $300,000. Point is that it's not as much money as you think it is, especially when you're, you know, in the profession that she's in and traveling, and there are a lot of expenses that WWE does not pick up. So it's not as much as you think. And plus, you know, you want to make as much money as you can during this bad economy. You know, your future is never, you know, written out. What happens if you get injured, you get into an accident? Jesus, remember what happened with Sonya Deville? She was in the house. Let that sink in for a minute. Wasn't she in the house with Sonya Deville when that guy showed up? And wasn't she in the middle of a feud with Sonya Deville? Could you imagine what that guy would have done because he hated Mandy Rose? I mean, I just think. You mean your future has never panned out? So if you could make some extra money, and plus, you know, Mandy Rose 10, 15 years from now, you know, she may not have the looks that fans want to invest that kind of money spending on her. So you take advantage, you strike while the iron is hot. So I don't blame her at all for doing this. You got to do it a certain way. And like I said, you may not like some of the requirements, some of the restrictions with WWE, but you have to go along with it, or you have to, you should not be surprised if you're let go as a result. But again, I think she, at minimum, they should have suspended her. Then if she still doesn't coincide, then you let her go. So, Ronnie C., he heard my tribute to Mandy Rose from Tuesday's Patreon show. Do I think Mandy should go to AEW? And how long is her no-compete clause? Well, I answered that earlier. Just because she's in NXT doesn't mean that she has a 30-day. Who knows? Maybe WWE does let her out of her contract a little bit earlier. I will say this. Since posing photos in your house is not conflicting with WWE, she could continue doing her fan site. You know, the fan page. She could continue doing that. She, fan time. She don't have to stop that. You know, WWE can't say anything. You know, she could fucking spread eagle tonight. She could show it all. You know, she could go one step further and WWE can't do a thing about it. But the Mandy Rose sacks, I think that'll change. I think you will see the domain name change to Mandy Sacks. You know, because that's the name she's using on there. I think Mandy Rose Sacks. They'll probably change that just to avoid any controversy. That's the only thing that I could see her doing different with her fan time page. You'll probably see the domain name go from MandyRoseSacks.com to MandySacks.com. And yeah, I know what somebody's going to say right now. I bet you somebody somewhere ran to GoDaddy and bought that fucking domain tonight to, you know, maybe they could get a profit a little bit off of it by trying to resell it to Mandy Rose. People did that early on with WWE, with social media. There were people that snatched up a lot of WWE Twitter account names. So, you know, the wrestlers would say, hey, you know, I'm Vince McMahon. You know, I want Vince McMahon WWE or something like that. Like, people would just buy certain domains and social media names, you know, to prevent even celebrities, athletes, to buy their own name, and then they have to offer extra money to someone to try to get it. And do I think she should go to AEW? Sure. Sure. I think AEW would probably give her a part-time schedule. She could continue doing what she's doing with her fan site, fan time. I keep getting that wrong, with fan time. And she's improved significantly. I mean, she would be an interesting person to show up, lay someone out, and cut a promo. I think Mandy Rose in AEW would be really, really interesting. We'll see. We'll see. Look, if there's a possibility that Mandy Rose could return to WWE, she may just hang low for a little while, just do what she's doing on the site, maybe tone down a little bit of the content. Maybe she hopes that WWE would bring her back. But if it seems like WWE is not going to budge anytime soon, then yeah, I think she should go to AEW. I think people would get a kick out of it. I think it would be interesting. Anthony P. with the 5-spot. Thank you very much, my friend. DT, she really messed up. It's not WWE's fault. She only got caught because of Twitter leaks. You can't sell nudes behind WWE's back. That's crazy. Again, I'm not disagreeing with you, but what you're saying is based on what people are writing on Twitter. WWE was fully aware of this page. WWE has talked to her about it before. Somebody online put this guess out there that she set up this fan site, used the Mandy Sacks name, and she was posting pictures and making all this money behind WWE's back, and then the nudes came out and people circulated, and that's how WWE found out and they fired her. That's not how it went down. This woman has over 10,000 likes on that page. Look at the front page. She ain't hiding it. Everybody and their mother knew it was Mandy Rose. This wasn't hidden. It's just nobody really paid attention to it. There's a lot of guys and gals that had jit gel rags out because of this page. This wasn't anything that WWE, we had no idea that she had Mandy sex. So that narrative that's floating around, that is based on someone's emotion about the situation. That is not based on facts. But I agree with you. She did mess up. She did. Because she knew what she could and could not do. But again, it's independent contractor versus independent content creator. And in her mind, she was doing nothing wrong. In WWE's mind, they tend to differ. Now the question is, whose side are you on? For people that don't know the whole story, they're probably going to take Mandy Rose's side. If more comes out, and I don't know if more is going to come out. I mean, how would it come out? What you're going to get in the next few days is what we predicted about the Vince McMahon stuff. You're going to get journalists that are going to say, my sources tell me that this, this, and this happened. And it's them guessing what happened. And then you'll have someone else. No. I got to take credit for it. Well, my sources say that this, this, and this happened. You know, and this is going to be competing. That's why even with the WrestleMania matches, Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar is being considered for Mania. So now someone else is like, well, you got to figure out another match for Brock Lesnar. Ooh, I got it. Gunther. So now my sources tell me that Gunther versus Brock Lesnar is being penciled in for WrestleMania. And in a week or two, someone else will want to put an exclusive out there for Brock Lesnar. And within 2 months, you'll have 7 different Brock Lesnar matches that are all confirmed for WrestleMania. And I don't think Brock Lesnar is going to be wrestling 7 times. And then someone will get it right. And then they'll go on Twitter and they'll wallpaper it and they'll say, see, we were right all along. We have connections. All right. I'm going to jet out of here. So I'm looking at my notes. I think we got into everything. And yeah, Saturday. Oh, by the way, tomorrow, I promise, tomorrow, Q&A, tomorrow, that'll be happening, 12:15. We originally had it for December 8th. I recorded the Q&A. I recorded it last week. What happened was I was going to post it yesterday. And I'm bird sitting, and yesterday was kind of rough. I didn't feel well, so I didn't finish editing it. And then I checked my email, and there was a few questions on email. And I didn't want anybody to have to wait 2 weeks to have their questions answered. So what I'm going to do tomorrow is I'm going to either add the additional question, splice it together, and put it online, or I'm going to just re-record the Q&A tomorrow. But tomorrow, before the evening, because Thursday I have the whole night free, tomorrow the Q&A mailbag will be posted online for everyone. And then we'll do the next one in 2 weeks, which would be the 29th. It'll be right after Christmas, right before New Year's. I think that would be a great time to do it. So we'll do the mailbag tomorrow, and then we'll do it again the 29th of December. And if you want to send a question, you can either email me, dontony@dontony.com, or in a day or two, I'll post a thread on YouTube, the community section, and you can post your question there. So that is the plan. So tomorrow will be the Q&A mailbag, and then Saturday morning at 11 o'clock, the Don Tony Show. We will definitely talk about Rita Marie demanding over $10 million from Vince McMahon. I will tell you why I personally don't think she should get a penny. It's nothing against her, but you know, this is a story that's been going on for 37 years. I think 37 years. There has been no criminal charges. Vince McMahon has always denied it. I do believe that Vince McMahon and Rita Marie had some sexual relations. My guess is that he promised her a bunch of things. He promised her opportunity and history back in the 80s and just wanted to get laid and then couldn't deliver. And because he was married, maybe felt the pressures of, you know, maybe his wife finding out about it. And then he let her go. And then she got almost banished from wrestling, you know, she showed up on TV, Current Affair, and others making these accusations. Nobody investigated it. No criminal charges were ever filed. You know, nothing was ever, you know, put against him. 37 years later, just because you don't like Vince McMahon doesn't add facts to it. It doesn't add DNA that doesn't exist. It doesn't add, and I get it. You know, of course there's no evidence, you know, but the point is, you know, there's nothing to prove it. And you can't just, well, I don't like the guy, and the guy has done this to other women, so he had to have done it with her also. It's not how it works. Vince McMahon is not going to give her a penny to shut up. And I personally, my interpretation is she had 30, even 7 years, 10 years, 50 years. And for anybody who's going to say to me, well, you know, DT, at that time, you're like, women didn't want to go public. And then, no, she was on fucking TV making the accusations in the 80s or the early 90s. And still, nobody investigated. Nobody did anything. He was never put charges. I think she was promised, women referees at that time was non-existent. And I think she was promised to become a performer, almost like a celebrity. Remember the appearance on the Vince McMahon, his version of the Tonight Show? And I think in the end, she felt used and abused. I think the act was consensual, but I also think that he promised her a lot of things and lied just to get laid. And that makes him a pig. That makes him a creep. Does that make him liable for $11 million? No, I think Rita, after 37 years of feeling hurt from Vince McMahon, and rightfully so, she finds out this motherfucker paid all these people millions. I deserve money. That's how I feel. That's my interpretation with it. So we'll get into that in a little bit more on Saturday. We have other things to talk about too, but we'll save that for Saturday. So if you enjoyed tonight's show, take a moment, smash that thumbs up. If you know anyone else out there that would like the channel, let them know about it. It's free. You know, you can become a subscriber. You can become a channel member. You can check out the Patreon, patreon.com/DonTony. Thousands of Patreon-exclusive shows up there. Kevin Castle will be doing his show tomorrow on Discord at 10 o'clock live. So that's it. I'm out of here. So, friends, hope you enjoyed the show. If there's anything that I said tonight about the Mandy Rose stuff that you disagree with, post it in the comment section. And also check out, I put 2 video clips up the last 2 days. My discussion Monday about Matt Riddle and my discussion Monday about Vince McMahon, which was wild because in less than 24 hours, what we predicted happened. That was wild how that went down on Tuesday. But definitely comment because there's some interesting back and forth going on right now amongst viewers because of it on the community section. So, all right, everybody, be well. Much love. I'm out of here. Good night. Adios. Chocha buena. I'm running out of languages. Where is my good fellas? Okay, here it is. I'll talk to you all again tomorrow with the Q&A, Saturday with the DT show.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.